I've been writing my songs and telling my stories. I finally got my songs played on the radio. I've been doing interviews around the country. And then one day a DJ asked me, "Can I pray with you?" He said, "Do you mind if we pray on the radio? Do you mind if we talk about the Lord? I truly believe that God's watching over you. You know there's no better company than Jesus while you're out on the road." I told the DJ right then I'd be more than happy to share my thoughts and inspirations about my songs. I'm thankful God likes my music enough to ride with me. So if you're hearing my country music, then know that Jesus tags along. Do you mind if we pray on the radio? Do you mind if we talk about the Lord? I truly believe that God's watching over you. You know there's no better company than Jesus while you're out on the road. I know there's no better company than Jesus while we're out on the road.
Hi folks, and on the podcast today we have friend of the podcast, Richard Lynch, with us once again. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to get started right away. As you remember from the last time, I'm a pastor, and you've got a song that obviously fits me perfect, Pray on the Radio, because I do that with all of my listeners, or almost all of my listeners. Tell me about Pray on the Radio.
Well, the song Pray on the Radio is actually a real-life, honest-to-goodness experience. Me and my wife was on a radio tour, and we were playing a tour of radio stations around Tennessee, Arkansas, and Kentucky. And I was driving down the interstate, and it was about 5-8 miles before I could actually get off to the next exit. Well, the phone rang, and there was a disc jockey from California. And he said, "Richard, I see how busy you are, and you know you're doing very well, having a lot of success with your music." He says, "The Lord must be traveling with you." And I said, "Well, I'd like to think so." And a little small talk went on. The next thing he said to me, "Richard, do you mind if we pray on the radio?" Well, I had never been asked that before or since. And just so happened that day, I was in my pickup truck. There was a pad of paper between me and my wife, Donna, on the front seat. And normally you couldn't find a pen or a pencil with a search warrant, but there happened to be a pen right there on the dash looking at me. So I'm driving down the interstate with a phone to my left ear, trying to steer, and I'm reaching for the pen and a paper, and I'm trying to write all these words because this emotion came over me like nothing before. And I'm having a conversation, and I look over at my wife. She's got these big, large eyes, thinking, "Oh my gosh, you're going to get us killed driving down the interstate." So she grabs a pad of paper and a pen, and she proceeds to write exactly the words that I am saying in this conversation. Long story short, the song "Pray on the Radio" is exactly how the conversation went with the disc jockey on the interview at the time, driving down the interstate. Just absolutely amazing.
Well, I've been told before, I actually interviewed a guy a couple of weeks ago that is on a TV show, and I prayed with him at the end, and he said, 30 years in the business getting interviewed, and nobody's ever prayed with me. And you know, you're talking about this song and thinking about that, and that's kind of a shame that we don't pray more often, isn't it?
It is a shame. And you know, I will say this, people's asked me, well, how did you write that song? And I know you've heard this before, but basically I just held the pen, because there was some kind of this absolute inspiration that landed on me, and it had to be wrote right then. It could not wait 5 miles or 2 miles or a mile. It had to be wrote right then, and that inspiration hit me like nothing before. And you know, in the music itself, the song itself is proof that I do believe there was a little bit of divine intervention riding with me that day.
And your wife probably would say that the song "Jesus Take the Wheel" kind of took over too, huh?
Well, you know, that's the first time that has been made reference to me. And you know what? That's really an awesome reference as to how that could have been, because, you know, how else can you explain it? But he had a hold of the wheel. He had a hold of my pen. He had a hold of the conversation. It was just an amazing experience.
Well, as I've gotten older, I used to be able to multitask pretty well. As I've gotten older, that ability is kind of going by the wayside, and my wife, again, is sitting right here beside me, and I'm sure she's going to nod her head yes. So if that would have been me trying to write, Jesus would have had to take in the wheel, that's for sure.
I completely understand.
Okay, in addition to that song, tell me what else is going on.
Well, you know, I'm always writing. I find myself writing all the time. My music has really started to take a hold, not just nationally, but internationally. We have a TV show that we're doing. We have it's called Traditionally Lynch. It gets aired Saturday mornings. We are just... We just found recently that our TV show has been submitted to and accepted from the Farm and Ranch Network, so they're airing it on a national level. And our radio show that we're writing and recording is being aired in Europe right now. So there's a lot of cool things happening there. The tour situation is nothing less than amazing. We've been busy as can be all summer and late fall, and we have a couple of shows that we're doing here in the near future. This coming Saturday's night, as a matter of fact, we're playing with a legendary band called Exile. We're going to be act with them guys.
I remember.
Just amazing. I have a huge Texas tour coming up in January and February. We're doing a country music cruise out of New Orleans, Louisiana in February. I just sit back and I'm absolutely amazed at all the wonderful things and all the opportunities that are starting to come my way.
It seems like every time I talk with somebody from the MTS stable, and I've talked to several of you folks, the international word keeps coming up, and I know that there was a press release a few months back about some international opportunities. Talk about how that I mean, that's got to be humbling.
It really is. About 3 summers ago, I was invited to do a show in Ireland with David Frizzell. And David, wow, what a true hero of mine. You know, he's been in the industry and has family been in the music industry long before I was ever on God's green earth. But I got to do the show in Ireland, and I did not realize the significance of how many people in Ireland and Europe are hungry and they love that traditional country music. If someone would have asked me before we went, I would have said, well, I don't know anything about it. I hope they do. But now that I've been over there and see what they're all about, they're absolutely crazy over the traditional country sound over there. So having worked in Ireland and been over there, I realized that, you know, we're very fortunate because they want the sound, they want that traditional sound, they want new music, but they want the sound that they're familiar with, that steel guitar, the traditional lyrics, the three-part harmony, a storyline that they can follow. And I'm tickled to death that I'm, you know, finally in that realm of artists where I'm being accepted and having some success in Europe. And not just Europe, but we found out recently that we're getting an awful lot of airplay and radio time in Australia now, too. So that's really worked out really good for us. So we're pretty lucky, and I'm learning, and I just always want to learn. You know, I've been doing this business for an awful long time, and I'm always still learning things, so I hope that continues.
Well, country music must be a pretty big thing in Australia. A local band that I've had the pleasure of being MC for some of their concerts and got to go down with them to the Kentucky Opry and MC down there. They're going to Australia in 2019. So country music in Australia must be a big thing.
Well, that's what I understand. We have a dear friend, Leonie, and she has a radio station there and submits a lot of independent artists. And we had just had won a couple of awards the last couple of years for our music there in Australia. So I'm not really, you know, as well-knowledged about it as I should be, but it's just amazing the fact that the friends and the folks that are playing our music down there thought enough of us to create some kind of an award for us. So, yeah, you know, Australia, and I'm also hearing, you know, parts of South America, all over Europe. If my memory serves me correct here, I think we're on 34 different countries right now around the world with our music. So that's just amazing.
Again, on that local band, they're called the Night Owl Country Band, and I've always thought that you and them at a concert together would be really awesome because they're kind of the traditional country music. And speaking of traditional country music, I want to segue that into your single "Country Music Isn't Country Anymore." Tell me what went into that song.
Well, a good friend of mine, Mr. Nick Nichols from Nashville, wrote that song. And as a matter of fact, there's four of his songs that he wrote on our current album, Mending Fences, the Mending Fences album. And, you know, in my album, it's got 11 other tracks that are, you know, just really diverse yet traditional country music. And when I heard the song "Country Music Isn't Country Anymore," I thought, boy, I relate with that. And so many people I talk to relate with that. Wouldn't it be great to just put that on the album? And ultimately, it ended up being number 12 on the 12-track CD as an explanation point that says, hey, listen, what we're telling you in this album is country music isn't country anymore, but there's still a huge, and I mean a huge, interest in that from a traditional sound around. And being in the studio with all those incredible musicians and being in the studio that, you know, with Rhonda Vincent on that album, I mean, it really made me step up my game, because, you know, I'm like, wow, this is really happening here. I better put my best foot forward on this project, but it was a lot of fun.
We talked the last time you were on the show. I want to mention it again. Traditionally Lynch on the radio, but more so Love Tattoo Foundation for Veterans?
Yeah, the Love Tattoo Foundation is something that me and my wife started here a couple years ago. The song Love Tattoo actually came to me in the form of a poem. A gentleman, Chuck Brisbane from Virginia, Virginia Beach, actually said that poem to my wife and said, "Hey, I really like your husband's music. Do you think he would put some music to it?" And so I sat down and I put some music to it, and I realized it needed a little help, so I added a chorus along with it. And I've always been a huge fan of an artist named Ronnie McDowell. Mm-hmm. And there shortly after I recorded it and started performing it, we did a show with Ronnie. And I found out something about Ronnie that really impressed me. I always loved his music, but I found out that he did 3 tours of duty in Vietnam. So mm-hmm. I went from loving a man's music to actually loving a man. He's just an incredible artist. So after the show was over with, I asked him, I said, "Ronnie," I said, "you know, I've got this song that we have, and it's called Love Tattoo. If you get the chance, listen to it, and if you like it, you know, I'd like for you to consider being in the studio with us and recording it." Well, sure enough, we got in the studio together, we recorded the song, and the Love Tattoo became a duet with myself and Ronnie McDowell. And we have dedicated all the proceeds from the sale of that single to a place in Michigan called the Whirlwind Lodge. And the Whirlwind Lodge is a 1,200-acre facility with a 60-acre lake. And any and all veterans from World War II to today is welcome there. So if anybody's hearing this that knows a veteran that might need a little R&R, might need a little time to kind of reflect and get their head together, there's a place called the Whirlwind Lodge in Custer, Michigan that exists. And if anybody needs that particular destination, there is doctors, there's psychologists, and there's just a place for them veterans to go. But that's just my way and Ronnie McDowell's little way of being able to give back to what we feel are some folks that are very deserving.
I believe we talked about this a little bit the last time, but if I were to sit here and read all of the awards and Hall of Fames and all of that that you're listed on, I'd have to extend the show. It's got to be, again, a humbling thing to get rewarded in those type of ways for what you've accomplished throughout your career.
Well, it definitely is. It's very humbling. I really appreciate that. But, you know, the most rewarding thing for me when it comes to the music, you know, yes, I love all the statuettes and I love the awards and all the things that we've got. But the most rewarding thing for me is for somebody to walk up to me and say, "Man, we have waited for 6 weeks or 6 months to come see you play somewhere, or we've taken a vacation day to come see you play somewhere, or we have bought your music," and for them to walk up to me and for me to shake their hand or to hug their neck, you know, that's probably the most gratifying the most gratifying thing that can possibly be done out there, because I really love the connection with the people and the fact that they think enough of me and my music to come see me. I really appreciate that so very much.
Well, I wouldn't have expected you to say anything different, but having had you on the show before and being Facebook friends and watching things take place, you answered that exactly in my mind how I figured you would answer that. Very humble, and that's an inspiration to me. When you've got Hall of Fame after your name, to be as humble as you are is quite an attribute, Richard.
Oh, well, thank you. I put it this way, I'm Woody Lynch's son, and by that was my dad. I grew up in a country music household, and my dad never knew a stranger. He always had that smile on his face. He's always stuck that hand out, and I realized at a young age how important that is, you know, and I've always loved to be treated like that, and so I definitely want to treat people like that. I learned well from my dad, you might say.
Tell us what's going to happen the rest of this year. You're so busy, I would ask you farther, but again, we'd probably have to expand the show just to get your schedule going.
Well, my better half, Miss Donna, she informed me that we're going to be back in the studio again sometime around the first or second week of December, getting some more songs recorded. In the very near future, what would be sometime after the first of the year, probably late February, early March, somewhere in that time frame, we're hopefully back in the studio with another new album. I've been writing a lot of songs, and I think I've got close, or maybe I'll be one song away from having another 12-song album to record. That's all my music that I have wrote in there. And, you know, I don't record music that's just mine. It just so happens that I'm always looking for that great song. If I hear a song that's a lot better than what I have written, you can bet that I'm going to record that song. But it just so happens to be that this next project will be all 12 songs of music that I have recorded. I'm really excited about that, that I've written, I should say. So I'm really excited about that. And, you know, there's all kinds of great little things that we're doing. We're scheduling artists to join us here on our farm in Waynesville, Ohio. We have 4 shows a year at our barn here in Ohio that we're excited about having artists come to our show with us. So yeah, there's just all kinds of different things that we're doing, and the best thing that I would suggest people to do is just go to richardlynchband.com, and you can kind of see where all the different places we're playing, and our music that are being sold, our videos, and our merchandise, and all that great thing. But that's probably the best way to keep up with me, richardlynchband.com.
I interview probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 people a month, and from all different backgrounds, country music, Christian music, television, movies, books, all kind of different things. And of all the people I have interviewed, and I say this about several people, but boy, it sure fits you so well. You're just a down-to-earth person, Richard, and you seem like somebody that could be friends with just about anybody.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, I really appreciate hearing that. I am a down-to-earth guy. I just love the fact that I'm really kind of humble beyond belief when we walk into a place and we got a full house and there's people there wanting to sign their T-shirts or sign their album or whatever, because in my mind, I'm just an old farm boy from Waynesville, Ohio.
Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate the fact that we got that old farm boy on our show again. And I know you're a busy, busy man. You mentioned before we started recording here about the farm and in the studio and on the road. I don't know how you have time to hardly lay down at night and go to sleep, much less write songs and all the other stuff you do.
Well, my wife, she keeps a firm grip on things. You know, Richard, you got things to do. Let's get this done. So.
Well,
I know your wife is right beside that, so you probably know a little bit about that list that she has for you, right?
Yeah, I don't know that mine's called a honey-do list. I think it might just be a do list. You know?
A do now list.
Did you hear? She said a do now list. Well, where would we be without our wives, Richard?
Oh, I'd be in deep trouble. I tell you, I would not be where I'm at today if it wasn't for my better half. That's for sure. She's believed in me for a long time, and you know, she's created a whole bunch of opportunities. And you know, I wouldn't trade anything. I wouldn't trade anything I've got for her, because she's really she's my best friend, and we make things happen. That's for sure.
Let me pray with you before we go, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Father, I just thank you so much for my friend Richard and for his family. I ask you to bless him and his wife, all their endeavors, their work there on their farm, his music. Father, I just thank you for the testimony at the beginning about praying on the radio. Beautiful, beautiful story that is. And make it into a song. We thank you for the testimony of it, on how it came about, and that you being the inspiration there, and that the words that you gave him for that song. We just give you glory, Father, and thank you for that. We pray safety upon all of the people that are traveling with him when he is on the road. We ask that you would bless his music bless his efforts, and thank you for a good Christian brother that we know and love here. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, folks, that's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. Want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. Want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston Podcast at. And let me just list a few of those for you here. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Blueberry. We're on all of those with our podcast. One of those is your favorite. We'd encourage you to bookmark us, however it is that that individual site has you to save your favorites. We would love to be able to consider ourselves one of your favorites. We want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say, please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.